It's quite a graphic picture, isn't it? That Jesus walked to the cross bearing a crown of thorns. And his executioners mocked him as a king. They, earlier in the day, had put a purple robe on him. They'd got reeds and they'd whipped him with those reeds in this mockery. You call yourself a king. And now Pilate, he adds to it. He nails this declaration above the head of Jesus, this sign, the King of the Jews. Now, Pilate's little game wasn't lost on the Jewish leaders because, indeed, Pilate had no regard for the Jews. And indeed, he asserted Rome is in control. This was a whole act of abuse and mockery, this sign. And Pilate wanted to make a statement. These Jewish leaders are saying, no, take it down, change it. And Pilate's saying, no way, I'm in control here. I want to let the whole world know. What I've written, I have written. But interestingly, neither the Jewish leaders or Pilate were in control. Neither of them. It was the man hanging on the cross, the man who looked powerless, the man whose body had been bruised and beaten. It was he who had all the power. The irony of the sign is its truth. Because Jesus is the King, not simply of the Jews, but the eternal King, the one who created and holds the whole universe together, the one who is in control. We see this later in John 19 in verse 30 when John tells us that Jesus gave up his spirit. It was not taken from him. This was no mere human event in history. It was an event over which Jesus had total control. It was a deliberate act. He described himself as the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. No one takes it. The cross, the very thing God had planned and foretold, happened. John is very clear concerning this. Verse 24, this happened that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Verse 28, so the scripture would be fulfilled. Verse 36, these things happen so that scripture would be fulfilled. Yes, it was King Jesus hanging on the cross who submitted himself to it and demonstrated his power by dying, not fighting. Do you see what's going on here? Do you get it? The eternal God in eternity past had you and me in mind. And as the all-powerful King, he is the one who stepped into time, reached into our world and did what was necessary to bring us back to himself, to free us from sin, as we've been singing. And while the Jewish leaders and the crowds down through the centuries screech, he is not our king, we this day have the opportunity to yet again acknowledge him as king and give him our lives. But not only that, we remind ourselves this morning that King Jesus will come again. He will come again. And we who love him will see him face to face. And we will declare with the whole of heaven, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and power. John's gospel is really interesting because John, throughout his gospel, was at pains to Let us see that Jesus is God. He is uniquely God. He is fully God. He begins his gospel, for example. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am. I am God's Son, he said. The Father is in me and I in the Father. But interestingly, John's portrayal of Calvary lets us see a very human Jesus. In seeing Mary, his mother, Jesus expresses his care and concern for her. He is thirsty. He who offered living water to all died with cracked lips and a swollen tongue. And when the soldiers came to do their last ghastly deed of humiliation, these men who were experts in death, yes, professional executioners, discovered Jesus was already dead. Jesus was a real man who died a real death. Out of his body gushed solid blood clots in a stream of liquid serum. This testimony will be critical when it comes to the amazing proclamation, "This Jesus whom you crucified has been raised to life." No, he just didn't fall asleep. No, he wasn't really dead. This Jesus died. But he was raised to life. But there is something else going on here that we need to consider. Because when we look at the cross, we do not see God at a distance. We do not see God turning his back on rebellious humanity and leaving us to our own devices. This is not God so far off. He is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. This is God come near. God clothed in humanity. Jesus the man, yet without sin, but a person just like you and me, hanging on the cross. In our place. Accuse me if you will, but of being a simple man, but there are some things in life that really excite me. And one of them is Brisbane City Council, that's where we live, Brisbane City Council rubbish pickups. I think that is one of the most exciting parts of the year. I mean, how much rubbish do you collect at your house? We moved into our house less than a year ago, and about a month after we moved in, the rubbish pickup came, and it was really great. And we threw stuff out. We just threw stuff out. And this year again, well, I was disappointed. I was walking around looking for rubbish. Kerry gets afraid, let me tell you. If it's not nailed down, I'll throw it out. But I like the whole concept of stuff just appears in the street. It's amazing. That's not mine. Where did that come from? Sitting in front of my... But it just appears. And it's there. And it's there for days. And then suddenly, it disappears. Except for the person who didn't read the dates right. Can't handle those people. Because they wreck my little imaginary game. Because one day... the streets are full of rubbish. And as I drive around, I kind of go, man, where do those people have that stuff? And then the next day, it's all gone. The streets are clean. It's amazing. Truly amazing. In a similar way. Yes, in a similar way. That's exactly what Jesus did on the cross. John the Baptist, at the beginning of John's Gospel, described Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away, who removes, who blots out the sin of the world. And in the last words of Jesus from the cross, he declared, "It is finished." It is finished. The idea behind this Greek word is job completed. I've been working on this project. It's finally finished. I've blotted it out. I've taken it away. I don't know if it's an urban myth or is true, but I've heard of a famous Australian artist who was actually banned from going to the New South Wales Art Gallery. Because this guy would walk into the gallery, walk up to his paintings, pull out a brush and do some work on it. There was a news item this week that, the royals are coming to Brisbane, and there's a guy, I think he lives on Bribie Island or somewhere, who's been painting a picture of Diana, of Kate. Time warp. Painting a picture of Kate. And it was interesting because I'm looking at it, as the news report thing, oh yeah, that's finished, and he's just putting a little touch there. A little touch there, and you think, what difference did that make? In his eyes, it was not finished. Not so at the cross. Not so at the cross. It has been finished. Yeah. There's nothing to add. Nothing to change. Jesus has done it all. Jesus' death on the cross was enough to remove my sin. I heard the story of an evangelist from last century, and this guy went up to him, and this evangelist was a bit cheeky, and this guy said, "What must I do to be saved?" And he said, "You can't do anything, it's too late." And the guy was shocked and said, "What do you mean? It's too late for me?" He said, No, Jesus has already done it. You can't do another thing. Jesus did it all. It is finished. The King, God Almighty, who came into our world, who identified with us as human beings. Yes, he was without sin, but he took upon himself yours and my sin. He died in our place that we might be forgiven, that we might be set free. So what do we do? What can we do? Charles Simeon was a preacher from the past, and on one occasion he was reflecting on the sacrifices of the Jews, of the Jewish religious system, and came across this statement. The Jews knew what they did when they transferred their sin to the head of their offering. So at the annual Feast of Atonement, what the Jews would do, they'd put their hands on the head of the goat, as it were, and they were transferring their sin onto the head of the sacrifice, that sacrificial goat. Simeon, as he reflected on this, he wrote, "What? May I transfer all my guilt to another? Has God provided an offering for me that I may lay my sins on his head? Then, God willing, I will not bear them on my own soul one moment longer. It is finished." This morning we are going to take the opportunity to thank God for Jesus, to rejoice in the cross, to remember the death of our Lord Jesus Christ as we share in communion together, the Lord's table, the meal that Jesus instituted when he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." If those who are helping could please come forward. Jesus, on that last night of the in the Passover, that he spent time with his disciples, he took a portion of bread. And listen, he broke it. Said, "This is my body which is broken for you." And in a very real way, he symbolized what was about to happen, what we've reflected on this morning, that Jesus' body was broken for us. And the scriptures tell us in the same way, he took the cup from the table, and he said, this wine, this juice is the blood of the new covenant which has been shed for you. Body broken for us, blood shed for us. Jesus died for sin once and for all. And for us, my friends, our greatest need as human beings is to run to Jesus and say, "Thank you and forgive me for my sin. I need you to take away my guilt." And friend, if you do not know Jesus, I encourage you even today to do that very thing, to run to Jesus. But to all who love him, the invitation is to come and eat and drink in remembrance of him. Let me pray. Father, this morning we thank you that we have this opportunity just to stop, to get out of our normal lives and to come together and to remember Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you as the King, as eternal God. We thank you, God, that you entered time and space, our world. And Lord Jesus Christ, we worship you as our sacrifice, the one upon whose head our sins have been taken. Thank you, God, for forgiveness. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the promise that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Thank you for the truth that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's eternal Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so, Father God, this morning, I pray that as we eat and drink together, the reality of all that you have done would be yet again, by your Spirit, powerfully spoken into our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, please, would you distribute the elements? And as you receive bread and juice, hold it and let's eat and drink together. And if you don't know Jesus, we're glad you're here. But look, this is not a religious act, so just pass the bread and the wine by. And I encourage you this morning to consider Jesus. Why don't we stop? The scriptures encourage us to examine ourselves. And I just want to create some space this morning to stop, to reflect, to give you the opportunity to just in the silence, in this moment, to reflect on the cross. In your own heart, silently, you might want to just thank God for Jesus, to worship him. I encourage you as you reflect on what's going on in your life. There might be sin there that confess it, knowing that this morning we remind ourselves that there is forgiveness for sin. Let's just pause and let's stop. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us eat and drink together in remembrance of him. Yes, Father, we thank you for Jesus. And we give you all the glory, the power, the dominion, the praise, the majesty, the wealth. You alone are deserving of it. And this day, we lay our lives at your feet, King Jesus, and bless your great name. Amen.